Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
The defense team said, in essence, that Donald Trump is a king.
He believes he's king now.
We are not supposed to have a king. The founders didn't want a king.
Donald Trump is the supreme element of this state.
Republicans are shamefully behaving as if the president were a king and they were his patrons.
They have now essentially made Donald Trump into a king.
Good to be the king.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
You heard from Joe about the things he did with the NRA. That took courage. Delaware is a tough state. I'm a hunter. I'm a gun owner. Been that all my life.
We know. Can I get me a hunting license here?
But I got news for you. I'm sure there's not a veteran here who would take an AR-16 with a long clip to go out and shoot a deer or shoot anything.
That's not a gun.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Michael Bloomberg.
I just think of Little. You know, now he wants a box for the debates to stand on. You could be short. Why should he get a box to stand on, okay? Why should he be entitled to that? Really?
Is this the state of the GOP, that we just sit there and we just make fun of other people? Is that all this is now?
The credulous boomer rube demo that backs Donald Trump, that Donald Trump's a smart one, and there are y'all elitists are dumb.
You elitists with your geography and your maps. No,
your math and your reading.
That was a good one. I needed that.
Unchained and unstoppable.
My other three granddaughters are down in Dubuque with my wife, Jill. And so, and Des Moines, I'm in Dubuque.
But at any rate, the fact is that, I even forgot what the hell I was going to say. Excuse my language.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. I'm just looking at the latest poll to come out of New Hampshire. There was one in the Herald yesterday. Sanders had a big lead. He has a bigger lead tonight in the Channel 7 Emerson poll. 29% for Sanders, 14% for Biden, 13% for Buttigieg, and Warren is down to 12%. Can you imagine if Bernie runs away with it tonight, what it'll look like in a week?
Poop.
When New Hampshire voters go to the polls, and the rally, incidentally, is for Donald Trump is a week from tonight in Manchester. So he's pulling away. Yeah, I mean, Bernie is pulling away. This is going to be very interesting that how they're going, because they are going to try to stop him. And again, I mentioned earlier that with Representative Scalise, that there's a very rich guy who lives in my building, and he's a big Democrat guy, and he's been visited by Gore and Hillary. And in the last Friday night, I walked in after doing the show. I came back to the building, and the guy in the front door said, "Howie, guess who was here?" And I said, "Uh-oh, who?" "Nancy Pelosi." And I said, can we get some holy water in here to sprinkle around the lobby? Can we get someone down from St. Edward's just up the street to come in for an exorcism?" But it gets worse. Well, not worse, but today the rich guy, the rich Democrat donor, is visited by James Carville. So something's up. I don't know what. And he was overheard mentioning the word Bloomberg. I don't know as if Bloomberg's throwing his money away or Bloomberg's a great option for the party. I don't know what he said, but that's what Carville was saying. And anyway, this is Trump has been going after Bloomberg, and Trump was in good form on the Super Bowl interview. He did it Saturday night, and with Sean Hannity, and then I saw the president later on, and just said hello to him, and the Trumpettes were also and they had this group of big supporters of Trump, female supporters, and Roseanne Barr was supposed to speak to them, but she claimed she was sick and couldn't fly in from Hawaii. But they had Diamond and Silk were there, and I think Donald Trump Jr. ended up being the keynote speaker, and Trump said a few words to them. But Trump gave the interview before all that to Hannity, and he was talking about how about the Bloomberg, who he obviously knows, because Bloomberg, you know, he's not originally from New York. He's from Medford originally, but he lived in New York for most of his adult life, has lived in New York. So here's a Trump on Bloomberg, cut 10.
Michael Bloomberg.
Very little. I just think of little. You know, now he wants a box for the debates to stand on. Okay, it's okay. There's nothing wrong. You could be short. Why should he get a box to stand on, okay? He wants a box for the debates. Why should he be entitled to that? Really? Then does that mean everyone else gets a box?
I guess if they want one, I will have to negotiate boxes.
Well, the other thing is very interesting. Cory Booker and all these people couldn't get any of the things that Bloomberg's getting now. I think it's very unfair for the Democrats, but I would love to run against Bloomberg.
Cory Booker didn't need a box, but he didn't have the poll standing or the number of contributors or the amount of money raised to get on the debate stage.
He did need a composite girlfriend.
Bloomberg doesn't need a composite girlfriend, though. That's another. They're not very similar candidates when you get right down to it. But, you know, anyway, here's Brian Stelter from CNN talking about cut 11.
Despite Trump's claim, there is no evidence that Bloomberg is asking to stand on a box. And there's nothing wrong with standing on boxes, by the way. Some of the candidates do that at debates so that the camera angles all make sense.
Yeah, just ask Mike Dukakis. We always used to make jokes about him carrying his own orange crate around with him so he could have a box to stand on. That's everybody stands on boxes, right? If they're under 65 inches tall, of course you're going to stand on a box. So this is, you got to go on with this. Cut 12.
Is this the state of the GOP that we just sit there and we just make fun of other people? Is that all this is now?
Which leads us to our next cut, the obvious one. Is this what we do? Is this what the GOP does now? Do they make fun of people? This is last week on CNN.
And obviously it's false. And look, he also knows deep in his heart that Donald Trump couldn't find Ukraine on a map if you had the letter U and a picture of an actual physical crane next to it. He knows that this is, you know, an administration defined by ignorance of the world. And so that's partly him playing to their base and playing to their audience, you know, the credulous boomer rube demo that backs Donald Trump, that wants to think that Donald Trump's a smart one and they're y'all elitist or them.
You elitist with your geography and your maps and your spelling, even though my
math and your reading.
Yeah, you're reading. You know, your geography, knowing other countries, sipping your latte.
All those lines on the map.
Only them elitists know where Ukraine is.
Sorry, I apologize.
Oh my God.
But you know what? But it was Rick's fault. I blame Rick.
Oh my God.
But, you know, but in all honesty, but all,
blame
you know what
Rick,
NPR should do?
Why not? Sorry, hold on. Wait.
Can I tell
give
you
me
what,
a second. Hold on. Sorry. That was good. Sorry. Rick, that was a good one. I needed that.
Now back to cut 12.
Is this the state of the GOP that we just sit there and we just make fun of other people? Is that all this is now?
Apparently it is. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. You know, don't, if you live in glass houses, you better not throw stones like that, huh? 844-500-4242. Did you know they're, you know, once Biden has been eliminated here in the next few weeks from the campaign, they're thinking about giving him a new show on TV. They're going to bring back an old show, and he's going to have this hotel by an old railroad line, and he's going to be there, and he's going to be running it and falling asleep all the time, and he's going to be Uncle Joe. Cut.
And that's Uncle Joe. He's a moving kind of slow at the junction, Petticoat Junction.
He's a moving kind of slow at the junction. And now it's getting so bad that pranksters are showing up at the rallies. I don't even know if these are like, you know, Republican pranksters or Biden or Bernie pranksters or just like freelance pranksters just enjoying themselves, but they're coming out to heckle him. I guess, you know, it's the easy way to quote unquote go viral, right? Cut four.
You know,
Mr. Vice President, welcome to the show. My wife recently left me. She's divorced from me. What can I do to get her back? What advice could you give someone like
that? I'll talk to you afterwards, okay? I'm happy to. I promise. I'll talk to you afterwards, all right?
Well, could we just get this out right now because where we are, we're alive.
No, we're alive. I'm beginning to see why your wife left you. Come on, man. Sir, I promise you I'll spend time in the afternoon.
That may be the best line he said throughout the entire Iowa caucuses. You know, at least he got back some kind of zinger in return.
Elizabeth Warren was also pranked. Guy got on stage and bent on one knee and proposed to her and said, "Will you be my candidate and also my wife?" She said, "I'll be your candidate."
And then the guys in the white coats came up and threw the net over his head. Pretty dragged them away. Did Bailey have a response? Did Bailey say, Bailey, what kind of night do you think it's going to be for the fake Indian? Rough.
A beautiful dog. A talented dog.
Bailey didn't step on my solo or near solo on Fox and Friends, but Punxsutawney Phil did. I'm Howie Carr.
He's the maestro of microaggression. He's Howie Carr.
Hi, this is Cindy from Osterville, Massachusetts.
This is Brett Rock from Dunstable, Massachusetts.
This is Amy in Lisbon Falls, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Unlike other home security systems, SimpliSafe uses video evidence so police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. Get free shipping on your order plus a 60-day money-back guarantee at SimpliSafeHowie.com. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Bernie Sanders be stopped by the DNC again?
They'll try, but I don't think they can. And that latest poll that they're coming out practically every other day, but this latest Emerson Channel 7 poll, he's ahead of Biden 2-1 in New Hampshire. And that's before the results tonight, when I assume he's going to get a big headline, Bernie. So I say no, they can't stop him.
17% say they're not going to stop him.
All right. 844-500-4242. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Howie. How you doing? Hey, I just wanted to say I'm down in New York 18, which is Westchester County, and I went to my local meeting. Congressman was back, Sean Maloney,
yes,
protege. I call him liberal licking latte. I sent a clip of the meeting up to Grace. You can take a look at it. But the whole thing was just ragging on Trump completely and a bunch of angry white people. You know, I'm white, but I mean, they were just, you know, it was just this whole thing.
If I were in New York, John, I would be angry about the legislature for passing this no bail law. I mean, isn't that what people are really angry about down there? I mean, they're letting off drunk drivers, muggers, killers, illegal aliens with no bail. People who commit I know they say they're not violent, but they're violent crimes, serious crimes, and they're just walking away. I mean, the state is coming unglued with a Democrat majority in both branches of the legislature and the governorship, right? I mean, isn't that what you should be angry about?
Well, yeah, but I think, you know what's happening? People are just leaving because you can't rationalize with these people. They're just, they won't listen to you. It's just like, you got to leave.
No, I understand. I mean, I just got back from Florida. You should see the building boom going on in South Florida. And I just look at these buildings going up, and I know they're going to be full of people, not just from New York, but Illinois and Massachusetts and Connecticut. You're right. It's like it's over up here, you know, in terms of a political, resistance, the real resistance, you know? What were they? So are these just like trust fund people, John? Just like people that have too much money on their hands and they don't care about the fact that the economy is humming?
I live in Bedford, so Maloney is from, is a protege of the Clintons, like I said.
Yeah.
And they're just, yes, Trump's got to be held accountable. Somebody's got to be held accountable. And I was going to start spouting off, but you know what happens? I just slammed the door and left because I couldn't take it anymore. You try and get involved, but it's very frustrating that we have no representation at all. Yeah.
Accountable for what? That's the question. I mean, what did he do? He did nothing. Thanks for the call, John. I appreciate it. 844-500-4242. Did you hear about the woman, the crazy woman from Connecticut who tried to crash through the barricades at Mar-a-Lago? I don't even know if she knew that she was where she was going. She was jumping on the hood of a rented car at the breakers. And then when the cops came to take her out, they thought she was drunk and she drove off. Somehow there was another woman in the, she escaped too. That's the thing. She went through the barricades and then she escaped into West Palm Beach and they finally caught her. And so today, so first she was supposed to be brought up before a judge on Saturday. They have Saturday court sessions in Florida and she refused to leave the hospital. I didn't know you had an option for things like that, but today her lawyer went into court and he said, "Judge, you can't blame her. She's mentally ill." Really? So she gets to crash barricade set up by the Secret Service, and she wants a pass because she's a mentally ill 30-year-old soprano singer from the Nutmeg State. She's putting the nut back in Nutmeg. Hannah is her name. Hannah Soprano, as it says on her web page or her Facebook page. 844-500-4242. So John Kerry, as you saw, was back in the news. He was making a phone call, a loud phone call in the lobby of a major hotel in Des Moines, which was teeming with reporters and politicians, et cetera, on the eve of the Iowa caucuses. And he was overheard saying about how he might have to get the Bernie was going to take the party down whole, and somebody might have to get in. And later on, he claimed that he was just talking to somebody who watches too much cable TV, i.e., someone who was like the people John was just talking about, some hysterical rich guy who's worried about Donald Trump, and he claimed that he was just responding to him, but he said, "I'd have to leave my post with the Bank of America." Remind me not to open any bank accounts at the Bank of America, which is North Carolina National Bank. They took the name when they bought Bank of America. And I couldn't give any more paid speeches. As if anyone would pay to hear John Kerry speak, you'd pay not to hear him speak. And so anyway, but he was in Iowa campaigning for his old friend, Joe Biden. Cut five.
You heard from Joe about the things he did with the NRA. That took courage. Delaware is a tough state. I'm a hunter. I'm a gun owner. Been that all my life.
He's a hunter. We'll play more. We'll finish the cut when we come back. We'll take your calls. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Let's play the rest of that John Kerry cut of him endorsing Biden and about how Biden got the AR-16s with long clips off the streets. Of course, there aren't any AR-16s. And
oh, he got them all.
That's it's easier when there aren't any of them. And somebody texted me earlier when we mentioned this. Farmers apparently use AR-15s on varmints because it's just easy to take them out. I mean, obviously from a distance, because they see you coming, they hightail it out, those varmints, those groundhogs. and prairie dogs, et cetera. And so they use it. They
specifically
use,
ones named Phil?
Yes, exactly. The ones who ruined my appearance yesterday. Okay, but anyway, let's go back to Kerry.
You heard from Joe about the things he did with the NRA. That took courage. Delaware's a tough state. I'm a hunter. I'm a gun owner. Been that all my life. But I got news for you. I'm sure there's not a veteran here who would take an AR-16 with a long clip to go out and shoot a deer or shoot anything. There has no business. Joe led the fight to get those things off the street, and now we have a crowd that was willing to bring them back, and we saw what happened in Las Vegas and other places. We need a Joe Biden with the guts and the courage and the savvy to be able to do something about that's reasonable about guns in our country.
Is that the kind of speech he gets paid big money to make? Guts and savvy. You got those AR-16s off the streets. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. And then he wants to make sure everyone doesn't have an AR-16. They want to have a shotgun. You take off the shotgun, you just fire both barrels out there. And, you know, that'll take care of Corn Pop or T-Bone or whoever's harassing you and menacing you.
We're going to take out all the 358 Magnums, too.
And the 43s, the Colt 43s.
Those AK-48s, forget about them.
Yeah. So it's good to see that John Kerry is back reporting for duty.
I'm John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty.
I think John Kerry is moving kind of slow at the junction, too, just like Joe Biden.
And that's Uncle Joe, he's a moving kind of slow at the junction. Petticoat Junction.
So, of the squad, you know who the squad is. The four crazy female Democrat freshmen in the House of Representatives. There's Ilhan Omar, and there is Rashida Tlaib, who got into a jam for booing Hillary Clinton the other day. And there is also AOC, and those three support, of course, Bernie Sanders. The fourth one, though, is Ayanna Pressley. She's from Boston, but she's from Chicago, but now she lives in Boston, Dorchester, and she is the one member of the squad who has not endorsed Bernie. She went with the fake Indian, Elizabeth Warren. So she was out there in Iowa along with everybody else this weekend, and she was trying to drum up support for the fake Indian at the rally. Cut eight.
You know, this room is glorious, and there are a lot of people here. There could have been more people here. I know why some people aren't here. Because of broken hearts, because of broken promises, because of broken systems.
They're also here because of forked tongues. Why would you go out to an Elizabeth Warren rally and be lied to your face when you could watch those big bold-faced lies right on TV? You don't have to go to a rally. 844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. You want some more Elizabeth Warren hypocrisy? This was, I didn't know about this. I don't know who uncovered it, but it's in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend. You know, Elizabeth Warren is also, in addition to Bernie, she's kind of like Bernie's echo. You know, when Bernie says something, she says, me too. And one of the things she's talking about is ending fracking with an executive order on day one of her presidency. And again, I mentioned that before Punxsutawney Phil cut me off, that there are, I think, close to 2 million people now working in the fracking industry, hydraulic fracturing, to get oil and natural gas, more natural gas than anything else, out of the ground in the United States. And it's all over the place, and many of them are in swing states like Western Pennsylvania. There's huge numbers of people employed in fracking. Ohio, Michigan, Colorado, where Cory Gardner supposedly has a tough fight, but I don't think it's going to be that tough, because if they find out that Bernie or the fake Indian are for ending fracking and putting them out of business. You know, West Virginia turned from a Democrat state to a Republican state practically overnight when Obama first and then Hillary started talking about banning coal production. So now Elizabeth Warren wants to shut down the fossil fuel industry, period. Guess what? It's worth noting, the Wall Street Journal says, that for years, the fake Indian and her husband reported income from natural gas royalties in her native state of Oklahoma. Oh. In other words, do as I say, not as I do. Ms. Warren's financial disclosure filed with the Senate in 2012 included $504 worth of income from, quote, gas well royalty interests in Latimer County. The next year was $203. So what happened was, when she decided to run for the Senate, guess what happened? She sold all of her natural gas and oil royalty rights to her family.
I'm going to get me a beer.
Huh. You don't say. And then a Warren campaign spokesman said, Elizabeth and Bruce, that's Bailey's walker, sold or transferred these mineral interests to her children several years ago. Oh, so that, it's kind of like she, you know, it's like buying a carbon credit. Once you sell it to your kids, then it's not on you anymore. I'm sure the kids buy carbon credits. They buy the indulgences.
Liar Wartha's wampum.
Her children still own them. They generated a few $100s last year. Remember, it's, okay. That makes it okay. It's only a few $100s. It only killed a few polar bears. How long did Ms. Warren and Mr. Mann receive these royalties? Were the royalties larger in the past? The campaign declined to say. For context, gas wells become less productive over time. If you ask us, says the Wall Street Journal, there's nothing wrong here. Many people hold mineral rights. Not me. How about you? Well, but, you know, we're not campaigning to shut down fossil fuel industries. Fossil fuels make the world go round, powering everything from cars to MRI machines. As for the climate, natural gas and fracking are the main reason that America's carbon emissions have dropped in recent years. Ms. Warren is a multimillionaire, so it isn't as if a gas royalty would get her humming, "We're in the money." What makes this curious is that it belies the purism of her presidential rhetoric. She speaks as if oil inevitably stains everything it touches. "We want to make real progress on climate," Ms. Warren said at a November debate. "Then we have to start by attacking the corruption that gives the oil industry and other fossil fuel industries a stranglehold over this country," unquote. A month later, she added, "The biggest climate problem we face is the politicians in Washington who keep saying the right things but continue to take money from the oil industry." Pot meat kettle. Back when she was a Harvard law professor, Ms. Warren and her husband cashed those gas checks, or at least they did until the month before she launched her first Senate campaign. Once she entered public life, they apparently unloaded the inconvenient assets by transferring them to children, who then endorsed an oil and gas lease that would be politically toxic if it carried Ms. Warren's signature. In her rhetoric, Ms. Warren, the fake Indian, portrays a world divided between good guys who fight for the earth and bad guys who are in the tank for oil. These Oklahoma gas wells illustrate that life is much more complicated than she wants low-information Democrat primary voters to believe. Well put. Well put indeed. 844-500-4242. You know, that earlier caller, John, was talking about how out of control things are in New York. It's not just with, you know, the Trump derangement syndrome and the no bail letting out criminals onto the streets. Do you know they have a new permit that costs money in New York? Taylor, did you hear about this one?
No, I haven't.
Stargazing access permit.
Are you serious?
Got it right here in front of me. So the Gateway Pundit found it. Imagine this. You're out with your family in one of the parks in New York State where you can actually see the stars when it gets dark. You look up in the sky, see a constellation, and you point upwards to show your kids. Along comes a park ranger demanding to see your stargazing permit and issues you a citation because you didn't know you need such a citation. That's right. The state of New York is now demanding us peasants give them money so we can look up at the sky. How much does a breathing permit cost?
Yeah, how much for the hiking permit? Displacing pebbles on the trail.
They also now make you buy a permit if you want to dive into water at a state park. It's called the Regional Diving Permit. I don't want to dive into the region. I want to dive into the lake. And it costs $80 for in-state residents and $125 for out-of-state. Want to run your metal detector over the earth? Fork over $40, you peon, or end up in jail. How about this? Yep. A stargazing permit in New York State.
Wow. Sure. Punish the people for enjoying the clean air.
It's for the children. It's for the children, you know. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here, chumps. More Howie Carr after this.
This is Kevin from Brockton.
This is Karen from Boiling Springs, South Carolina.
This is Officer Mark calling from beautiful Stratford County, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
In the past, whenever the president has kind of escaped an issue, he's doubled down. Remember, just the day after the Mueller testimony back in July of 2019 was the day he made that phone call to the Ukrainian president. He might feel completely vindicated and unleashed in the wake of this. On the other hand, this story is not over. We're still waiting to hear from John Bolton. We found out just late on Friday night at midnight that the Justice Department was holding back 24 emails that indicated the president's thinking on this matter. You can bet that the Democrats are going to make an issue of this going into the election. What kind of impact that will have is uncertain, but the president has not escaped this issue. And one final point on that, the Southern District of New York is still investigating his personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, for his involvement in this matter.
George Stephanopoulos, then a Democrat operative, now a Democrat operative, just a much better paid Democrat operative making 15, 20 million bucks a year, as opposed to his days on the Bimbo Eruptions Unit for Bill Clinton, a guy who actually did commit crimes when he was president of the United States. Bill, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bill. You there, Bill?
Hello?
Yeah. I'm here.
Is this Howie?
Yes.
Howie, I just wanted to let you know that when you played that message from Kerry, when he was referring to the guns, he called it a clip. It's really a magazine, and a guy with military experience and who professes to be an expert
hunter.
On guns.
He's a hunter.
Should know. Yeah, he's a hunter. Well, if he's hunting with a clip, I don't know what he's using.
He's hunting rich women. He doesn't need an AR-16 to hunt rich women. He just needs a foppish accent and an ascot.
Hunting license here?
Well, he's like the fake news.
Well, you remember, you know, the 2004 campaign, he not only said that he stalked a 24-point buck on Cape Cod, which I'm told by real hunters on Cape Cod, nobody's ever seen a 24-point buck on Cape Cod. But he also claimed that he had run in the Boston Marathon. Remember that one? You know?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so the follow-up question naturally was, oh, really? What year? What was your time? Because everybody who runs in the Boston Marathon knows what year they ran in and what time they came in at. And he had no idea. He was just
making... So let's not get silly here.
He was just making it up, you know? I mean, these people are unbelievable what they think they can get away with, but they do. Nobody ever calls them out on it. And then Kerry, he was so angry apparently when he was busted by NBC News. And this is one of those rare occasions where I'm going to believe the network of Brian Williams and Al Sharpton and Mike Barnicle, that they're telling the truth, that he really was talking about running for president again. Because I don't think he's ever gotten it out of his head that he was robbed in 2004. He really believes that. He put out a tweet where he used an F-bomb in the tweet, denying it. And then he realized that that was a bit of a stretch. And so he deleted the tweet and sent it back out again, sent the tweet back out with a denial, with no barnyard epithet. So that's John Kerry for you. He's back in the saddle again, so to speak, at least for a few moments. 844-500-4242. I just want to say again how sorry I am about Rush Limbaugh's diagnosis of stage 4 lung cancer. He really is a great guy, and he's the greatest talk show host of ever, of not just of his generation, but ever. Patrice was saying that's how she ran into me. She was listening to Rush Limbaugh, and she followed me. And I mean, I grew up listening to Jerry Williams, and Jerry Williams was great, but Rush Limbaugh took it to a whole new level. I remember they put him on weekends, starting out on the old WHDH AM 850. That's where I listened to him. I'd listen to him on Saturdays and just, you know, very closely. I was studying him like everybody else was studying him. You had to figure out what he was doing if you wanted to survive. Get well soon, Rush. I'm Howie Carr.